Blog Talk Radio.
Crossroad Broadcast is now on the air.
and you have the opportunity and the privilege to be able to hear the broadcast that will change your life, the broadcast that will cause you to be enlightened with the things of this life. We know the Word of God always will bring illumination. It will always cause things to change in our life if we allow them. Well, this morning here on the Crossroad broadcast, we want to, our topic will be anger. We want to talk about anger, the cause, the effects of anger. Why do we get angry? We want to talk about some people that have gotten angry and have caused problems in their lives. So why don't we just go before the throne of grace? Why don't we just pray before we begin to talk about anger? Our Father, in the name of Jesus, Father, we thank you and we praise you. We magnify your name. We thank you, dear God, for all that you have done and all, God, that you to do according to your word. We do thank you, God, that your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light to our pathway. And thy word have we hid in our heart that we will not sin against thee. Father, we thank you for our broadcasting, our broadcast as well as the audience, God, that you, Father God, have touched our heart, God, to tune in to listen to the Crossroad broadcast. I pray, God, that you will meet every need, God, that you will touch them from the crown of their head to the sole of their feet. And this we thank you and praise thy name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, this morning we are going to talk about anger. Yes, you are listening to the Crossroad broadcast. We are broadcasting live from the Bowl and the City of Jacksonville, Florida. We want to begin our talk this morning about a man. Matter of fact, he was a pastor, and his name was Frank. We're going to use Frank. Frank had recently celebrated an anniversary. It was, matter of fact, his 30th anniversary in ministry. That's a long time to be in ministry. It's a blessing to be able to be in ministry for that length of time. Frank was 56 years old, and he had served in several churches during the past 3 decades. He was respected by his parishioners and denominational leaders alike. A few of them knew that about Frank's anger. Most of the time, Pastor Frank kept it under control, and you know how that is. We don't want people to know what's going on the inside of us, what is causing us to go off and what causing us to get angry. Sometimes when we're around certain people that we don't want them to see that side of us, we somehow kind of keep that under control. So this is what he did. He kept it under control, although he sometimes gets, you could see how red his face seemed when he began to preach the word and how he began to pound on the pulpit. Sometimes it looks like an angry outburst and a preacher of indignation over sin. When Pastor Frank had a church business meeting, he often fit on the verge of exploding with tension. Sometimes things come out when we are around the people we are most familiar with, the people that we spend more time with, the people that we that you may be presiding over. Well, because of the fact that he was on the verge of exploding during the business meeting, I think he thought that he could probably get away with what the anger, or kind of keeping it still kind of undercover, but yet he felt like he was exploding on the inside with the tension that he had. So far, he had kept his cool and hidden his real
feelings behind a pious faith, a facade, I'm sorry. And, well, you know, sometimes the matters of life, sometimes the things, the transitions of life, sometimes the things that we go through life can trigger things on the inside. And sometimes we don't want other people to know what we're going through. No, we don't want someone to know, especially those our peers and those that we are in transition with them daily. That a part maybe of our congregation, a part of the people. Sometimes people go off into their job. They can be leaders. They can be CEOs or whatever it may be. Sometimes they do go off. But I'm saying with Frank, with Pastor Frank, he was able, it always already pointed out that sometimes you could see the redness in his face because of the fact he was on the verge of exploding. To let people know, try to keep people from really seeing the real Pastor Frank. It also, sometimes his sense of humor that sometimes barely conceal his cynicism and sarcasm. His feelings, however, aren't hidden at home. See, that's a different place. That's a different place when you are at home. Sometimes all the anger, all of the things that you're on the inside, when you get into it, ready to explore, a lot of that shows up at home. And it let us know that that's what happened to Pastor Frank. A lot of times he didn't go off and he didn't lose his control in the business meeting or while before the people that he was over. But when he got home, it was a different matter. Once he was inside of his parsonage, Frank often shouted. He pounded the furniture. He proclaimed the weakness of the church. Then the church leaders. And then this is when he was letting go. Everything that he was angered about, some of the things that he was angry about, things that was happening in his church, that go off on the church because he didn't want them to see that part of him. I'm quite sure they knew something was going on, but I'm talking about really going off. He didn't go off. He kept it together, per se, until he got home. And then he began to pound the furniture. And then he talked about the weakness of the leaders of the church. And sometimes Frank, the pastor, began to swear. He had never harmed his wife. He never harmed his children physically. But they all have been stunned by his verbal abuse. And there is such an animal as verbal abuse. There is such verbal abuse. You may not hit someone. We talked some weeks ago about domestic violence. And here we see the pastor with his verbal abuse. The children thought that their father outbursts have convinced them, at least two of their children, that they want nothing to do with his church or his religion. And you can understand where his children was coming from. It's different if a pastor had children, there were children in the congregation, there was the parents, there were the people of God there, and he didn't go off on them. But yet they didn't have to live with him there. But the children, quite probably daily, they seen the outbursts of their father, who is the pastor, and how they pound and how he pound on the furniture. And as we said before, he never did hit his wife, or he didn't hit his children. But yet his children was, they was thinking, you know what? I don't want anything to do with his church or his religion. See, about what he did, it was taking God completely out of the picture, because they're thinking that this is something that the man of God, he's supposed to be a man of God, and he was. He was a man of God, but yet he could not control what was going on inside of him. And the children thinking that if this God, I don't want any part of his this their father's church or his father's religion. Well, Frank, he seemed to be bothered by his anger. He knew that his anger wasn't right. And after his outbursts, he often apologized to his family and even asked God for his forgiveness. He knew he had a problem. He knew he had a big problem. And yet he tried to hide the problem of his anger. And yes, he did for a certain length of time. And yes, he did was able to hide the anger that he had while he was before the congregation. But the anger was there. That's why when he got home, that's what why he did what he did, because he had a problem on the inside. He had a fight on the inside. He had a rage on the inside, and it was uncontrollable rage. Well, he controlled it while he was at church. But when he got home, his wife, his children had to see the real Pastor Frank. The real Pastor Frank really came out. And that's why the children didn't want anything to do with him or with his church. And after he kind of got it together, he always apologized. Like, you know, we talk about the message. Sometimes people will hit on their partners and beat on their partners and then apologize for the treatment of the way that they have treated them. Well, Frank really didn't have any physical abuse that he was abusing his wife or his children, but he had this verbal abuse that they had to go through time after time. Yes, he knew it wasn't right, and yes, he did apologize. Well, after the anniversary celebration, Frank began to wonder if he was really a hypocrite. And I can understand why he thought that. I can understand why he dealt with that. Because when you are a Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, when you are one thing one place and another have a personality at one time, a group of people, and then you have another personality before another group, and usually it's your family. It's the family is when they really Jekyll and Mr. Hyde have come out. This is what he, and he thought, was he really a hypocrite? And he knew that he was unable to control his temper. I'm quite sure he thought about some of the things that he was going through, some things that were triggering him to act the way that he did. You know, he consistently had to listen to the problems of the people of his congregation and deal with things that was going on in his church. Sometimes we can deal so much with other things that we don't take care of our own self. And that's what I believe that the man of God did, and really got trouble. And so, therefore, he began to think, am I a hypocrite? But he acclaimed it to other people, but yet he was unable to control his. So after a lot of deliberation and with considerable hesitation, he decided that he would talk about his anger with another pastor. And I think that was an excellent move. I thought it was a good move that the man of God, he knew he was in trouble. He knew that something was dreadfully wrong, and he needed to talk to somebody. And sometimes, you know, if you just allow yourself, if you just move the pride and acknowledge things that's going on in your life, we all, at one time or another, we all need help. And in order for Pastor Frank to be able to help some other people, the people in his church, neighbors, and anybody else, he first had to get help for himself. As he shared his concerns and when he was able to talk with another pastor, Frank was surprised how angry and how frustrated he sounded. During all of those years of ministry, remember he was in ministry for over 30 years. He had never really talked about his feelings without shouting, losing his temper. As the hostility poured out, Frank began to recognize how he had passively accepted unfair criticism and harbor resentment because of the demands of others. Sometimes we cannot, I will say again, we cannot help other people when we are going through struggles in our own life, when we are harboring resentment our own selves. And because when you are in ministry the way that Pastor Frank was, It calls for demands. People come to the pastor. They come for guidance. They come so they can hear the pastor and hear what's going on in their lives and help them what's going on in their lives. So during all of that time, because as I said, he had been in ministry for quite a length of time, but he needed some help. He needed time, more time with God. Sometimes we can spend so many time with people that we're not spending time with God. We're trying to help people that we are not spending time with God. We're not giving him that time. We're not going before him the way that we should. We're not resting our mind. We're not letting the peace of God flow on the inside. We're not letting joy, not even joyful over the privilege of preaching the gospel, because of the fact that we have let resentment and other things cloud our view and come up in our spirit. So after Pastor Frank was able to let out some of the resentment to another pastor and to see what was actually going on, because I'm quite sure that, as I said before, he had demands in his life. You know, a lot of us have demands in our life, but yet we have to learn how to handle demands, and we have to learn how to accept other people coming in our lives and helping us to go through day by day. Most of all, you know, we can't leave God out. This is something that's just like a puzzle. If you have a puzzle, and the puzzle consists of 200 pieces, and you try to put the puzzle together, maybe you almost got it together. But if you have 249, the puzzle is never going to be completed until you find that puzzle that was left. And it may be even more pieces missing out of the puzzle. But you have to come to the realization that you need help. We all need help. All of our help, coming from the Lord who has made the heaven and the earth. Sometimes even innocent and well-meant requests have triggered hostility, a hostile feeling that were taken out on his innocent family. Isn't that something? And you know, you can't bash the pastor for what he was doing, but you do feel sorry and to know that and feel sorry for his family because they were in the middle, right in front of the abuse and the hostility and the resentment of what the pastor was going through. Throughout Pastor Frank's ministry, Pastor Frank has spent many hours helping other people. Now, at last, somebody was helping him frustration and to handle his anger more effectively. And I tell you, ladies and gentlemen, that we need to learn how to cope with our frustration. And we need to know to get and to learn how to handle anger more effectively. He was also learning how to be a caring clergyman who knew firsthand about the precious of the life of a person who was in the office of a pastor. It's far different if the tragedy of it's different than what it happened with people that maybe not in a leadership position, but yet it is still so important, it's still vital, no matter who you are, whether or not you are part of the fivefold ministry, whether or not you are apostle, a prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher, all of us need help. You could be and also the members of the congregation, or you could be a person on a job. You could be a person that in the office, or you may be a person that works in a store, or you whatever job that you may have, car salesman. You need to have Christ in your life, and you need to spend time with him, and you need to get help. Because, again, all our help coming from the Lord who has made the heaven and earth. Now, I want to talk about a 17-year-old. I want to talk about a 17-year-old who was a high school baseball star. He never complained about his parents. He never really got upset with his parents and tried to bash his parents or put down his parents. He never did that. He never got in trouble at school. And he never showed anger. He never showed anger until the night of the murders. While most of the neighbors slept, he returned to the tree-lined suburban street where he lived. He quietly entered into the house, and he brutally murdered his parents and brother in what the police call a frenzied killing of bullets and multiple stab wounds. So it's not always a person with their outward anger. It's not always with a person with their loud verbal abuse. It's not always with people pounding the furniture like the Pastor Frank did when he got home, when he was away from his parishioners, from his congregation. It wasn't always like that. But this young man, who was liked about, you know, everybody liked this young man, thought he was a great young man. He was a star, playing baseball star. He's a baseball star. But he had anger that was going on the inside that he tried to suppress. Nobody knew what the boy was going through. Nobody knew the struggles that he was going through. But that night, when he had gone back to his house, he brutally murdered his parents and his brother. And what the police thought, and as I said before, it was a brutal murder. The question is, why would a likable small town boy suddenly explode in an outburst of violence? His baseball coach didn't answer the question. He was around his baseball coach a lot because he was a star. He played on the team. He was around the teammates. But they didn't see. All they could see that he was so likable and that he liked them. And neither could the police, the neighbors, the boy pastor, or anyone else who had known the teenager. They could not understand what happened. Before the news of this aggression, action spread over the pages of the newspapers nationwide. Anger is an emotional state experienced by everyone. I'm just telling you this. I want you to know this, that the boy anger was conceived, sealed. Nobody knew that. But yet, until something happened that night. But I'd like you to remember this, that anger is an emotional state experienced by everyone, but impossible to define precisely. Anger occurred in various degrees of intensity, from mild annoyance or aggravation to violent rage. Anger began in infancy and continued to the late years. We've seen kids, how they get anger, how they're angry and how they throw things and how they how they react and how they fall down, have these temper tantrums and things are going on even then in their lives. It may be hidden and held inside, or it may or express openly and freely. It can be of short duration. I'm talking about anger, coming and going quietly. Or it may persist for decades in the form of bitterness, resentment, or hatred. Anger may be destructive, especially when it persists in the form of aggression or revenge. But it can also be constructive if it motivates us to correct injustice or think. Anger is aroused when we feel threatened, demeaned, like we're down, or blocked, or blocked in our progress towards some desired goal. Now, those three things right there, I think it's worth for us just kind of rehearsing the matter and going over that just a bit. Anger is aroused when we feel threatened. When a person feels that they're being threatened, sometimes they get real angry. They also get angry when they're blocked in their progress towards some desire or goal, such as if they're trying to reach a goal, they're trying to do certain things and it seems like they've been blocked, people getting in their way, only they can see their way, then they get angry. Sometimes it's shown by their demeanor as well. But yet they still experiencing anger, and it still should be dealt with. Usually we know when we are angry, and others know as well. You know, sometimes you think, well, I'm hiding it. I'm not going to show anybody. I'm angry with them. But a lot of times, you know, it shows. You know, it shows in our face. It shows in our speech. It shows the way we say things. It's always there. Our body language, it always shows. This pastor did, how he pounded on the pulpit when he was preaching. You know, it was unlike he was preaching about sin, but you can see the difference in what, because of his frustration on the inside. Sometimes, however, anger is kept hidden behind a calm and smiling facade, or buried someone in the recess of our brain. That's something to think about. That's something for us to pinpoint as well. You can be angry, but you can be smiling at the same time. You think that you're keeping it hidden, but for your own self, you need to get some help. For one, again, all our help coming from the Lord who has made the heaven and earth. We need help. People need help. And many people train themselves, especially the people that have their jobs, that working in offices and CEOs, administrators, and all of these teachers, and they try to suppress the anger that's going on the inside. They can be very angry, just like Pastor Frank. He's a man. He's an individual, yet he didn't handle it in a correct manner. When he knew that he had the issue, he should have been beginning to dealing with the issue. Sometimes we don't, as I said before, we don't want people to know that we are so angry that we got problems. But they're going to know it eventually. They're going to see it because of the fight that you're going to display. And you're going to let people know exactly what's going, even if you don't tell them. They're going to see what's going on in, on the inside. So, therefore, sometimes the anger is buried someplace in the recesses of your brain. It always involves a physiological arousal that the angry person may not recognize consciously. Anger openly displayed, deliberately hidden from others, are unconsciously expressed. It is at the root of many psychological, interpersonal, physical, and spiritual problems. Along with hostility, anger has been called the chief saboteur of the mind. Did you get that? Anger has been called the chief saboteur of the mind. Anger is the leading cause of misery, depression, inefficiency, sickness, accident, loss of work time, and financial loss in industry. No matter what the problem, whether it's marital conflict, alcoholism, child defiancy, nervous or physical disease, elimination of hostility in its solution. Anger can interfere with our ministry, just like it did with Pastor Frank. He could have lost his ministry because of the fact that he was getting aggressive in the anger and the frustration that he was experiencing. And if not Pastor Frank, you know, people that has making six figures a year, it can end their career because of the fact of their anger. anger can separate families because it's a saboteur. It would sabotage you. It would sabotage your mind. So, yes, it would interfere with our ministries, and it hinder our if whatever what you do in your life, it can hinder you. It can separate husband and wife, separate chief friend, anger. You can be a help with somebody, but yet you carry so much anger until you can't get along together. It will separate a player that plays baseball. You ever seen people that in sports, they're very, very good at what they do, but their mind is a saboteur to what happened to them because they sabotage their own self because they get so angry, you know, at what's happening in the game. They get so angry at life, whatever it may be. Sometimes they're going on within their life. They bring it on the field. They bring it when they're playing basketball or football or hockey or golf or whatever they're doing. So it's a matter of being in control. When we look at anger, anger can interfere with our life. And there are some that have argued that the entire course of the world history has been shaped by anger and the struggles for emotional control. We see here that anger needs to be dealt with. And we can't deal with anger. We can learn to control the things that cause us, that can wreak havoc in our lives. You know, we talked about, when we look at the 12th chapter of Romans, it tells us to be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of our mind through the Spirit. We can renew our mind. Our mind don't, and the pattern of our mind and the emotional aspect of our life, the things that we deal with daily, and we know these things that get us into trouble, and if we only recognize it, and if we only go to God, and God will lead and guide us to the people that can help us in the situations that we're in. We can destroy each other. We can destroy our families and friendship and partnerships. We can do all of that if we don't have God, if we don't get help for the struggles, for the things that we're experiencing in life. Well, I want you to know today that God is the answer. He is the key for every thing that we go through in our life. The Bible says, ask and it shall be given. He said, to seek and you shall find. He said, the knock and the door shall be opened. He said, if we have the faith of a grain of mustard seed, say to the mountain, be thou moved. He said that problem, that situation, that aggravation, those struggles, it will be removed. So today we're going to go before the throne of grace. Our Father, in the name of Jesus, Father, we thank and we praise you. Father, for blessing your people on today. Father, for allowing us to speak on the topic anger. And Father, we ask thee in the name of Jesus, God, to touch every individual that's going to be listening to this broadcast, that listening to the broadcast today, that is going to be listening to the broadcast down during the week as they tune into Crossroad broadcast. Father, I pray, God, that you would divinely heal them. God, that you would bring deliverance in them. And God, that you will cause the peace of you, God, to be upon them, mind, body, soul, and spirit. And God, we come against every work of the enemy, every work of Satan, every satanic force, every work of darkness, every hoodoo, voodoo, black and white magic, anything, God, that's in the heart and mind and the soul and the spirit that will cause them, Father God, to not have peace. Actually, peace. And I send the word of peace to everyone that have been experiencing or know someone that having a problem with anger. Father, we just thank you, Lord God, for bringing deliverance to them this day and this hour. Now, Father, if there is any that under the sound of our voice, God, that do not know you as Lord and Savior, pray, God, even now, that your word says that if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in our heart, God has raised us from the dead. God, you said that we shall be saved. So, Lord, no matter what they have done, because we all have sinned, Father, we've all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But we ask you, God, to forgive them for their sins. Lord, save them, and God, that they can spend eternity with you. God, save them, save the backsliders, reclaim them this day and this hour in Jesus' name. You have been listening to the Crossroad Broadcast, Pastor Dr. Mary Smith McCoy. We would like to invite you to tune in next Wednesday at this very same time for the Crossroad Broadcast. Well, this coming Friday at this time, you will hear, you have the opportunity to tune in to the Hour of Power Broadcast, when we're going to enrich your life with the power of God's word. May God bless and keep you. May his face shine upon you. May you be blessed forevermore. This has been the Crossroad Broadcast.